Blog Talk Radio.
Wait a minute, why are y'all people changing the station dial? Wait a second. You just reached Taino Radio. This is DJ Sanagori. Me here, you there. Guess what? Taino's all over the world. Let's get started. That's right, everyone. This is Taino Radio. Please don't change that dial. You're here. You just reached the place where you need to be, where Tainos do exist. Once again, this is DJ Sanagori. I want to introduce alphabetical order. Hey, check this out. Co-hostess, her name is Anami. Are you there?
Tagwe, hello. Glad to be back. Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad you are back. And tell your dad, he's a great man. Hey, guess what? We have another co-hostess straight out of the mountains of the Poconos. Her name is Bana. Are you there?
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, that is awesome. Listen, I'm very, very happy and relieved, okay, that the Cuco and the Sawapa did not take you guys, man. Did not take you, kidnap you, eat you alive. What do you guys think about that, huh? You guys made it alive from the last show on The Problem of Evil. What do you think, huh? Well, don't be kind of speechless now, huh?
Well, I'm still here, so that,
now, literally,
that makes me happy.
Yeah, they would have thought.
That's a good thing, man. I don't know what I got. Hey, I got some emails about. Actually, you can always email Taino Radio at TainoRadio1491@gmail.com. That's right. We got some comments about The Problem of Evil. It's kind of an interesting topic. A lot of people wrote in about how many of them are Christian and definitely do believe in this whole sense of good versus evil. And some people wrote about how their relatives used to work the magic, used to work the ceremonies to fight off what they call evil. So it seems like this whole word evil still is pretty much strong in the community, right? The Taino community.
Yeah.
So I promise people in the future we do another show. I invite people to call in, share their experiences, and so on. But tonight we got a very interesting topic, okay? And it's called "Why Do Scholars?" By scholars, I mean the academy, like journals, universities, so on. How they write about the Taino culture in the past tense. Now, you guys can testify to this. The question I'm about to ask you, I'm not going to... you didn't hear this question, right? This is a fresh question. I promise you this is not fixed. I always put my hostesses and my guests on the spot because I want... a natural response. So let me start with Bana first, right? Bana, how did the Taino culture, how did you learn about the Taino culture? Yeah, I know I didn't ask you this, but
how did I learn about the Taino culture?
Like, when did you first find out, oh, damn, is Taino Caribbean indigenous does exist? What do you think? Hold on a second. Hey, intern, shut the music. What's going on here? All right, there we
okay.
go.
Can you repeat that question?
When did you first experience either the word Taino or, you know, indigenous, Caribbean, or, you know, very first time?
I actually never told anyone this.
Hold on. Everyone who's listening, please close your ears. Go ahead, go for it.
actually, like, when I was, like, in school, like, I would say, like, middle school, like, beginning high school, I had, like, this urge to, like, learn more about, like, our history. So I was, like, researching on Google, and I came across, like, an article talking about, like, Taino and, like, the Taino people of the Caribbean, especially in Puerto Rico. And as I was researching and reading this article, like, I just felt, like, this pull of, like, this, like, pull of just, like home. When I was researching this, and this was like years before I started reconnecting now as an adult. So that was actually like my first experience as a young teenager researching about our culture, about our people. But now as an adult, now is when I started really reconnecting and learning more about our culture and connecting with other Tainos. But I would say my first experience was when I was a teenager in school learning because I just felt this random urge just to look it up.
Nice.
And then I came across about our people, and I just knew, like, I was Taino when I was reading this article.
That's good. That's excellent. That's wonderful. And it kind of, like, how did you feel? Like, was there, like, a buzz in your body? Like, oh, damn, I just hit something here. I'm going to change my life. You feel me?
So it was more of, like, I already knew. Like, I knew that I was Taino. Like, I knew this was my lineage. But at the time, as a teenager, I didn't know about lineage or ancestors, but in my heart,
right,
I already knew.
It was like a reawakening almost, right? Like, you knew this.
Yes.
I like that a lot. All right, let's hold on to that. How about you, Anani?
Well, I am very fortunate enough to have been born into my parents, a.k.a. DJ Sanakori and my mom, teaching me about the culture at such a young age and growing up with it and constantly going to ceremonies, meeting a lot of Tainos in the Taino world and just growing up with the and just like Bana, as I'm getting older and maturing and being able to understand more of the culture more deeper, I'm able to connect with my ancestors more and just more with the over Taino-ness.
Oh, man, that's so cool, man. No, I just got a little thing over here. Hold on a second. No, it's something acting up. Again, this is the internet world. Sometimes stuff acts up, but hey, we're good. We're good. Oh, what's going on? Oh, can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Nah, it was crazy for me because I was just finishing. Well, how about this? Like, just like Bana, you know, when I was a young kid, I was fortunate to be raised by my great-grandmother. She used to do all her ceremonies and stuff, but she was very secretive. She wasn't really allowed to perform ceremonies in Brooklyn, New York. It was actually forbidden because of the New World kind of mentality. Right? Hey, we're in New York. We're in America. We don't do that here, you know? But she always did stuff hidden. And, of course, like a nosy brat I was, right? I always would follow her and peep and this and that. Finally, she just welcomed me, you know? Like, she knew I kept a secret. She always had that cigar. She always spoke about the Indio in her ceremony sometimes. And then her sister, my great-grandmother's sister, he would talk about, mira el Indio, you know? They would just say it. Like, they would, you know, they would see the dead, you know? And then I was always raised with that word, Indio, you know? I know I'm aging myself right now, but in the TV back in the 70s wasn't like now. There was only a few channels and a lot of repeats from the 50s and 60s. And we always had John Wayne killing Indians, cowboys killing Indians. And it was always the Indians, the bad guys, you know? So I grew up loving the Indian. You know, he always got beat up, you know? And then, finally in high school, I was reading some stories about Indians. And I was always gravitated to that. And it was only when I was in college, freshman year, a friend of mine gave me a book called The History of Puerto Rico, right? Oh, my God, what was her name? She's a famous historian, a female. A woman historian, her name was Figueroa, Loesa Figueroa Mercado, I think it was. And she already had died. It was an old book. He said, yo, I wanted to give this to you. Because we used to talk about my great-grandmother. He used to talk about his grandmother doing those ceremonies. So he gave me this book. And the first chapter, it was about the Aboriginal indigenous peoples of Puerto Rico. I'm like, what? Like, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. And then And I just kept reading that chapter over and over, over again. And I remember, this is where it gets interesting. My grandma, my great aunt were in the kitchen, right?
No, oh, wow.
I go in the kitchen, and they're talking. My grandmother was visiting from Puerto Rico, and I was in my room. I come out after reading the chapter for the first time. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, is this what they meant about Indio? You know? And then they look at me like, what the hell are you talking about? And I said, wait a minute, you guys never taught me this, you know? And now they're looking at me like, what? It's like, wait a second. And I show them the title of the chapter. And they're like, you're bugging out, man. Like, what the? I mean, they didn't say that, but in their eyes, it was like, I swear, it's a true story. I know a lot of Tainos out there have mentioned this to me as well. When you reveal the secret, kept for years, they just look at you like, oh, shit, he knows, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, what now? Like, what now? He knows the secret that they've kept hidden, you know?
Right.
So then, I think I was 18 at the time. I just had a stupid question. My question was, are we Indian, you know?
No, it's not stupid.
What this lady says, where we're Taino? And they looked at me, and they looked at each other, and I'm like, no, we're not. What? Yeah. But I can tell by their response, like, man, they're lying, man.
Wow.
So that's when I first heard about officially, historically, about the Taino people, you know? Like, my family did a good job trying to hide that, you know? And that led me to a whole journey, you know? So, So we all have stories, right?
Yes.
Some of us are the younger generation, you know. Fortunately, with the internet, with more knowledge, no more secrets, it's a good time to be Taino, right? But But one thing I realized, like back in when I started reading some articles, it was in the early 90s, right? And then, it was always the same thing, like, oh, Tainos don't exist now, you know? Or the Tainos are extinct. And I remember I went to a workshop, and Museo de Barrio gave a talk, right? I mean, not a talk, what do you call that? Like a presentation? And all the people I've been reading in the 90s were at this workshop, and they were giving presentations. And it was like, even though I didn't like these people that were saying we don't exist, they were there, you know, flesh and blood. I was kind of awestruck, you know, starstruck they call it.
Then,
so I sat down, right, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be fun, man. So a lot of my Taino friends were there from different groups.
Mm-hmm.
And right when they were ready to introduce the speakers, there was a couple of Taino folks stood up from different communities. And they were like, we protest this event. And then they gave a whole speech, right? And then the man was like, wait a minute, this is not the time, and blah, 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 like the MC. And then once again, you protest this event because we are still here. We are the representation of the Taino culture, the Taino people, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, they call security and all that. So it was an interesting event. Seeing all these scholars up there, you know? And they were, like, scared. I'm not scared, but they were, like, kind of like, oh, shit, you know? So I think this is the first time in my experience that actually Tainos, flesh and blood, we actually defended our identity, you know? Like, we're still here, man. You're looking at us. And then whenever they – and then finally when they spoke, it was always past tense. You know, and then once again, the people would get up. Wait a minute, hold on. We are the representation of the Taino people. So I guess that was my first time of picking up for ourselves, you know. Like, yo, we are Taino, you know. It's not the past. What do you guys think about that? Well, let me ask you. Well, you know what? Hold on a second. Hold on. Getting too excited here. So the Los Angeles Times came out with an article back on May 5th, 1997. This is around the same time, okay? Wait, this was 98. This protest went on. Museo del Barrio. But look at this. You ready for this? Let me look for the exact. Hold on a second. I'm trying to get the exact quote. Esperate, esperate. I'm trying to find it. I heard your minds. Nah, you stop. Destroy the unnamed thing. Yeah, I'm really prepared. Okay, I want you to ignore this. I'm just wait. Hold on a second. What? Always. Wait a minute.
Oh no.
Okay, ready for this? On a remote tip of the Dominican Republic, researchers believe that they have discovered the site of one of the most brutal and bloody massacres of Native Americans by Spanish conquistadors. Okay, hold on to that word. The battle is well documented in Spanish texts, but the discovery of the remains of the settlement provides the first archaeological documentation of the episode and a peace-loving Taino people who lived there. Okay, that's the first word, lived, past tense. Details of the expedition were revealed recently at the meeting at the Society for California Archaeology near Santa Rosa. This is the most important archaeological discovery in the Caribbean in the last 25 to 50 years, said Morales, at the East National Park where the city was discovered. Only 11 years after Columbus discovered, there you go, hear that language, the New World, a Spanish army led by legendary explorer Ponce de Leon. I just want to add, he was the future governor, the first governor of Puerto Rico, and others destroyed the unnamed Taino settlement, slaughtered as many as 7,000 residents. The barbaric incident was one of the first in 50-year period of conquest. I want you to highlight that word, okay? Keep it in your pocket, conquest, in which disease and slaughter wiped out, that's another word, keep that in your pocket, wiped out the Taino population of more than a million on the island of Hispaniola, presently Dominican Republic, Haiti. Right there, I just want to stop a moment. What do you guys think about that so far, what I've read? Let's start with Anani. What do you think? What were you thinking as I'm reading this?
Based off the words and, like, the kind of, like, language that it's talking in, like, it's kind of giving too much factual, quote-unquote factual. And I feel like that's the thing with a lot of these articles. They're going on misinformation and with a whitewashed mindset, like, of colonization. Because these articles are filled with what white people essentially wrote. Because it's a white history, right? Their motive was to create genocide. So they're, of course, going to portray this historical tragedy as, like, a success, you know? And it kind of blows my mind that people would actually believe this without considering the fact that with this genocide going on, no one fled. None of the Tainos fled, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's funny.
Yeah.
I'll mention this later, but go ahead.
No, that was really it. I was just like,
that's really loaded.
Yeah, like there's not these scholars don't use, like, they go based off what the white books say, and they don't really focus on, like, the actual truth from the actual Tainos who live in today's time and what they have to speak on their cultural history, you know?
So I just want to interpret it a little bit. So what you mean by white, the white is like the academy, like colleges, universities.
They dominate the narrative, and like just over time, like they take information based off what the white colonizers or the Spaniards came back home saying, like, oh yeah, we killed all the natives. Christopher Columbus, you know, he wrote in his journal and, you know, history was written over time through the mindset and perspective of the Spaniards and the colonization. So you don't see often the other perspective of the Taino history in these history books. It's mainly like been like the dominant narrative that you just mentioned. Yeah.
Right. How about this one? How about your feelings? How did you feel when I was reading that little article? This.
It feels like kind of disappointed, really frustrating, and it's also like disturbing because this is also what they're just teaching to kids in like elementary school, middle school, high school. Like it's not only universities, it's a thing that they're teaching young ones, and they grew up to believe that this is the truth, and
right.
They're not really exposed to the culture. And I feel like it's not just also the Taino culture. I feel like there's many hidden cultures that we don't get to see and learn about because we're
right.
so focused on, like, the dominant narrative. And I like that choice of words, the dominant narrative, because that's the narrative that they're pushing out there for everyone to believe.
Yeah, when I was in school, they used to say the person who won the war gets to dictate what happened, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes that wasn't good. Sometimes those were lies, right? Exaggerations.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one more question, but I'll ask at the end. Bana, what do you think? What were you thinking, your thoughts, when I was reading those first two paragraphs of this Los Angeles Times? Uh-huh.
So from what you read to me, the first mm-hmm. thing that came to my mind was control. And the reason why I want to highlight on control is because with this information that they're teaching mm-hmm. us about our history is to control the minds of the individuals that come across this information.
That's right.
And the reason why I want to highlight this because individuals that have the power to dictate what other people think has so much power over everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
when we don't know our truth, that allows those individuals to take our power away. So mm. when we come to reading these articles of their narratives of what is their truth, because when you think about it, it's their perspective on the of their reality, right? It's not our mm-hmm. truth. So it's just the fact of them controlling like our truth, our controlling our power, because they're providing their narrative. And it's just like, I also feel like it's just lies. When someone's a liar, they believe their own lies. So when it comes to, like, these articles, these scholars are believing their lies, and they're feeding that information to us. So when it comes
right.
to someone that's reconnecting and they're not understanding the truth behind our culture, it could be very
mm-hmm.
misleading. So when Anani
mm-hmm.
said it's misinformation, it is, because it's not our truth. And as an individual that's reconnecting, if we don't know our truth, how are we able to claim our power back?
There you go. How are we?
Damn, well said.
Mic drop.
Wait, it hit my toe. Ouch.
Don't hurt yourself.
All right, how about this one? Check this one out. How did you feel as I read those couple of sentences?
The way that I felt, I know if this was in the beginning of me reconnecting, I would have a lot of like hatred and anger towards
mm-hmm.
what you have read to me. But
mm-hmm.
as I've been reconnecting and learning about like our history and our culture, like I don't feel that anger anymore. What I feel more is just the disappointment. And I want to highlight disappointment because it is very disappointing, the fact that these articles are still being in the past tense. And it's just not allowing new individuals that are reconnecting to have the correct information and to understand that we weren't extinct. I would say we were hidden. I feel like saying that we are hidden is more valuable than saying that we were extinct. And the reason why I said that we were hidden is because we were hidden from, you know, the light. We were in the shadows. Now we're coming out from the shadows into the light. So that's another part I kind of want to highlight as well.
Okay, that's great. So valid, right? Now, this was an article written in, hold on a second, Los Angeles Times. Back in 97, it gave a lot of wonderful insight into this discovery. It seems like there was a lost city, over 5,000 people. And according to the article, they, you know, when they discovered this village, they found kitchens, like kitchens in the same style as the Jibaro. You know, the Jibaro used to have these, or the campesino used to have these outdoor kitchens away from the home, in which they'll make, you know, they'll bake, they'll cook. And they found these kitchens outside, and they found like this, they found these stones that was used to cut through shell, like oyster shells and clams, and the shells were still stuck in the rock. And it appeared like someone was doing this yesterday. And this is over 500 years ago that this happened. And it seems like the people like left, like, oh shit, we're in trouble. Let's get out of here. You know what I mean? So the stuff they found in this settlement was amazing. You know, they found an underwater, you know, we used to offer in the water different things, timis, baskets, macanas, you know, and they found all these things.
Wow.
So hold on. But let me read another quote. Hold on a second. This is, you know, when they found these things, they said skilled, ED, past tense, at agriculture and hunting, the Taino were also sailors, canoe makers, and navigators. In their cities, they built large plazas surrounded by stone walls, where they held religious ceremonies, recited, ED, past tense, the news, and played ball games that were, past tense, similar to soccer. The Taino left behind a few cultural reminders, the hammock, the music instrument known as the maracas, and the making of cassava bread were Taino innovations. The English word barbecue also comes from the Taino term for the rock slabs on which they bake bread. The Taino were generally viewed, ED, as unusually peaceful group, but their serenity had been disrupted 100 years before Columbus by an invading South American tribe called the Caribs. Fierce, warlike, and sadistic, the cannibalistic Caribs raided Taino villages, capturing women for slaves and men for dinner. Okay, same question. What do you guys think? Let's start with Bana this time. What do you think? What I just read from this article.
From this article, it's just like I said previously, like, it's their perspective on how they viewed us. And a lot of misinformation as well. So it just baffles me, the fact that an individual can just, like, twist something of into like from a lie to a truth when it really isn't the truth. So mm-hmm. when like just listening to that, it just baffles. Like it just makes me feel baffled, to be honest. I can't find mm-hmm. any other words to like even say.
No, this is a bull crap right there.
How about you, Anna? I was like, who wrote this? Like, who actually wrote this? It sounds so generic. The information is all over. Like, they're writing an essay.
Well, it's 1997. It is a news article from the Los Angeles Times. This is a little warm-up before we get to the scholarly work. go ahead.
I mean, if that's the warm-up, damn. But I was going to flip the question. On you, Vahike. And, you know, because you are the Bahican, you know so much about the history. I was going to flip the question and ask you, what do you think about the part where it mentions, like, the South America part?
Yeah, man. Okay. It's interesting because they put some general terms out and a lot of stereotypes. So let me just break it down. The Taino would generally view past tense as an unusually peaceful group. We weren't totally peaceful. We did have warrior societies, you know. And it was documented that we defended our own, you know. But their serenity has been disrupted by 100 years before Columbus by an invading South American tribe called the Caribs. Again, Caribs is a Spanish term, which is short for cannibals. The Taino people are ancestors. And the Kalinago, a.k.a. the Caribs, which is kind of like saying the N-word right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to put that out there. It's the Kalinago. At one point, the indigenous Taino ancestral people and the Kalinago, when they went into war, every tribe had these intertribal wars. It's part of the human story, you know, unfortunately. We get angry. We get desperate. We fight, right? It's not unique to human history, not unique at all. But what happens is they used to have these beliefs that when you kill your enemy, right, you will slice a piece of their flesh and you will consume it. Because, now this is the concept. I know it's hard for us to understand this, but there was a respect to that person you killed. Because that person was a husband, was a brother, was a father, right? So in them dying in battle, they just their death was just, you know, it wasn't in vain, right? So they would take their piece of their flesh, they would consume it to consume their valor, their courage, to make them a stronger warrior, you know?
Wow.
And when the Spanish saw this, they saw the Kalinago practice this, and they call them all the cannibals, you know, they eat. But actually, in reality, it wasn't eating because they were hungry. It was eating to absorb the valor of that fallen warrior. You understand? So if you look at it that context, there's an honoring, there was a respect.
Yeah.
Similar to the North Americans, when they kill an animal, the buffalo or whatever, they eat the heart. They consume the heart raw, or they do these special prayers. You know, it's out of respect. I live because this animal sacrificed themselves for me. You know the same thing with, you know, vegetation, fruits. You know, we offer thanks. So right there and then, they're saying the Kalinago are fierce. Okay, they were fierce. They defended warlike. You know, you don't go to war unless you have a good reason, you know. And sadistic? Now, that's going off the wall, man. Sadistic. Like, what? that's like mental illness right there.
Yeah.
And then the doozy was the cannibalistic Caribs. And they raided Taino villages. Okay, there were issues. Back then, our indigenous ancestors, they recognized disease. You know, after intermarrying within the clan. So what they did was a lot of the tribes that would go to other clans, other tribes, you know, for the women. Again, you know, it's an ancient peoples. We really can't judge them, our standards, you know. And they raided Taino villages, whatever. You know, it is what it is. But guess what, guys? Guess what? Let's fast forward. When we all figured it out, right? That, yo, these people are not good people. They want to kill us. They want to use us as slaves. Guess who helped our Taino ancestors fight the Spanish? Guess who helped us?
The Africans.
Before the Africans came.
You tell me, because I don't know.
Okay, they were referred to as, according to this article, the cannibalistic Caribs, or we call the Kalinago, that allegedly capture women for slaves and men for dinner. These are the same people, according to this article, they actually united with our Taino warriors to fight the Spanish. So they must have not been all that bad, right?
Mm-mm.
And they banded together, and that's why our ancestors were able to survive. That's why we're still here, because these tribes, you know, they banded together. Not all of them. There's many went with the Spanish side, but hey, the majority did. So yeah, that's the worst one, capturing women for slaves and men for dinner. That is so bad.
Wow. Yeah.
Anything else you want to share? Your feelings about it, Annie?
They're just for sure painting the narrative.
I know. Oh, hold on a second. They actually quote a scholar. He doesn't give a name of the scholars, but it says the disruption of the Taino social structure by these incursions probably made it much easier for the Spanish to conquer them.
Jeez.
But they're saying because of the Kalinago, it made it easier for the Spanish to quote-unquote conquer them. So now they're putting the blame on the Kalinago? This is what the scholars speculate. Bana, what do you think? What are you thinking right there, Bana?
What I think, it's just like, I'm trying to like think of like the best word, but like my take is just like they're just like going back and forth with their like their statement. And then another thing that's coming to me is just, like, it's, like, very dehumanizing of the fact of how they speak about our ancestors and just how they're painting themselves as, you know, the perfect individual and how they're pretty much, like, justifying their actions as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, they're speaking for us.
Yes. And that's, like, the worst thing an individual can do is to speak for someone else when they don't know our struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, what do you feel about that, with the feelings?
My feelings?
On what I read before about where Anna Nee was.
I guess I'm speechless because I it's just like I just don't know how to explain like my feelings at the moment, especially with this specific like this article, because it just like I said, it was very dehumanizing of just like their description of our peoples.
I get you, man. Guys, are you still there?
Yeah.
Let me see. Hold on. I think. Okay, that's cool. There's one thing I want to add to this whole thing. Data Yare Melendez. The late Dr. Yare Melendez is on a flyer that I've been putting out for the shows. I got to bring her into the mix. Back in the 2000s, late, middle 2000s? No, I'm sorry. Early 2000s. She took a trip to Kalinago territory in Dominica. Okay? And what she told me was something very interesting. She said many of the Kalinago that live in Dominica have roots, definitely 500 years and more. And many people from the diaspora came back to Dominica to reinforce the tribe, you know, the Kalinago. And they go through a lot of stereotypes as cannibals, right? Caribs, whatever. And, you know, as a lot of people don't know this, but Puerto Rico has three languages. One is the English, which is the official, Spanish, right? Wait, hold on. I think they changed it now. It's Spanish, English, and Nahuaqueño. The Nahuaque language is recognized by the government, and that's the language that that Tata Yare Melendez created. She went to Venezuela. She went to Colombia. And she went to the Kalinago, and she learned a little bit from the, what's the other tribe? I forget now. Which is a mixture of Taino and African. Oh, my God, it's the tip of my tongue. I can't remember. All right, okay, it'll come back to me. Guarifuna. But she went to the Kalinago, and she had a theory. You know what the theory was?
What?
She didn't deny that the Kalinago and the Taino had rifts, you know, and that they will fight for the women, you know. So when she sat down with the Kalinago in peace, right, we're not in war anymore, right, she says, can I learn the language? He says, oh, yeah, we got two languages. One is the masculine, one is feminine, right? Mm. She says, interesting. So when she learned it, she realized that the feminine was Taino. It was the ancient Taino dialect. Because if they're thinking women as wives, right? The wives would teach the children, right? And what did they teach them? They taught them the Taino language. That's what they knew.
Yeah.
So she implemented that knowledge, right?
Wow.
Now she into the Nahuaque language. But check this out. You know what she did was amazing? She spoke to the National Geographic to get DNA studies. To see what's the connection between the Kalinago and the Taino descendants, right? So one of the children in the school program tested positive with a child in the Kalinago tribe. They were cousins.
Wow.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yep. And guess what she did? She said, you know what? Let me do something. She says, what was that term she used? She said she got a little greedy, so she asked her, can I be tested? And the women tested, you know? And guess what? She found a cousin in the Kalinago tribe.
Aww.
If you go on YouTube, you can look up Yare Melendez. She has a channel. She had a channel, Yarey Melendez. I'm going to play with you when they got together, the first time the Nahuaque children got together with the and parents. Got together with the Kalinago. There's a video, and the Kalinago sang a number song with the community members of Nahuaque in their language, which is rooted in the Taino. Let me just play that. Let's see if you guys can hear this. Okay.
Okay.
Hold on a second. You guys can hear me now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can get this. Sometimes I got these commercials, right?
The ads, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, hold on. I have to mute me. Oh, that's messed up. Hold on.
We're having technical difficulties.
I just realized this. If I unmute myself, I'm using my phone tonight. You can't hear the song. Oh my God.
Oh dang.
Like if I mute myself, you can't hear the song. Oh my God. But it's going to be an echo. Well, that's a bummer, right? Well, in the next show, we'll definitely dedicate. How about this? Let's dedicate the next show to that connection, okay?
Okay.
But you can get it on YouTube. Yare Melendez. She has a channel, and you see all those Nahuake Kalinago videos. So Nahuake was pretty trailblazing there, right? Showing that we're still keeping that connection, right?
Yeah.
So let me hold on a second. Okay. Now, one of my favorite books of all time, it was written by Antonio Arroyo Stevens. Actually, his wife, Maria, she was a sociologist. I think she's a retired sociologist. I was a student of hers, and one day he gave a talk. And I guess I was a little starstruck when I met him. You know, the only question I asked him, but I want to say what he wrote first in his book, and I did question him on it. So this is from chapter one, The Cave of the Jaguar, Cave of the Hagua. And the Hagua is the fruit that grows like on top of the caves. And this is what he said in chapter one, deciphering the artifacts of belief. Ready for this? Then we'll start with Arani because Mana went last, right? Okay.
Yeah.
The Taínos of the Caribbean islands are extinct. Mm. That simple sentence states the magnitude of the methodological problem faced in this study. How can the religious culture of an extinct people be analyzed? For some 350 years, there have been no persons who call themselves Taíno, fashion their artifacts, or worship in their rituals. Now, this is not to say that no data are available concerning these peoples who encountered the European colonizers at the beginning of the modern age when Columbus first sailed Spanish ships into the sunny South Atlantic. All right, let me just stop there. Who goes? Anyone goes?
Yeah, wow, that was very blunt. what I think these people fail to realize is that with such a sacred culture, the Taínos have their own hidden teaching, stories, culture, and it's too sacred to be shared with the public because it won't be valued the same that we will. And mm-hmm. so the scholars just know the general knowledge, and they're going to assume that that's the truth and the only truth. But no, a lot mm-hmm. of the truth is really behind closed doors with what we keep with ourselves. And I find that it's also harder for scholars probably to believe because it's not federally recognized. You know, the Taíno is not a tribe that would be on a list of all the other tribes in the states and stuff. So because it's not federally recognized and because it's portrayed as the biggest genocide and Christopher Columbus discovered us, it's sad that we're like, we have to keep our teachings hidden, but I mean, it's the only way that it also protects us at the end of the day, you know?
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. How about you, Bana? What do you think when I read that?
I was going to say basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said previously, like we were hidden. And mm-hmm. the fact that Anami said that a lot of our traditions have been, you know, to ourselves. And when you think of a lot of the indigenous communities, a lot of their traditions are hidden as well.
Mm-hmm.
They keep everything
right.
sacred. So that also goes for us as well. And when it comes to, you know, our community, the fact that we were, you know, the first to be colonized, the
mm-hmm.
first to go through so much, you know, hardship with being, you know, the first contact of
Christopher Columbus. It's just a lot of that history has been like watered down. And
right.
the fact that these scholars just want to keep that same narrative because that is what they're comfortable with. And the fact that we're coming together as a community, reconnecting, is making them uncomfortable. And they don't want
right.
to come to the reality to understand that we're still here. And when you think of our culture, a lot of the indigenous part has been rooted into our culture. Once you start learning and reconnecting, mm-hmm. you come to terms that everything in our culture has the indigenous part.
Right.
And the fact that we're not federally recognized, like Anani said, like no one wants to acknowledge that because we're not federally recognized. But at the same time, we're still here.
Exactly. That's it. And what were your feelings? What did you feel when I read that? Can you hear me?
Lana.
Can you?
I was going to have you, Anani, go.
Oh,
Anani, I think he's talking to you.
Oh, you're talking to me? Ooh, sorry.
You know what? I think we're going overtime. Hey, guys, I just rallied. We're going overtime, but we're still recording. Good.
My feeling is the fact that I'm just tired of that same narrative, the fact that we're extinct when we're not. Like, we're still here. Like, I have a lineage. I have traditions that have been in my family for so long, and the fact that outsiders think that we're extinct is a bunch of BS, to be honest. I feel very strongly that narrative needs to be shifted, and we need to start writing our own stories. We have to be the ones to speak our truth, not allowing individuals to do that for us. It's our time to do that.
Exactly. How about you?
Yeah. Honestly, in my opinion, the truth of the matter is we aren't 100,000% Taino pure blood. We are mixed, and that has to do with history. That has to do with the way colonization went down and how we mixed with the Africans and we mixed with our Caribbean neighbors. And, you know, we're all mixed, but to say that we are extinct would just be a lie. Because we are still here. And if we were extinct, we wouldn't know about any of this stuff, right? We wouldn't know about the culture and the religion aspect of it. And we wouldn't know about our nature. And we wouldn't, you know, the caciques and the tribes and the jíbaros in the island. Like, if they were extinct, if Taino were extinct, they wouldn't know about what being a jíbaro meant, you know? And
right.
That's why we just have to protect ourselves, because we have to stay alive as long as we can. We have to keep fighting and keep working hard to be Taino, because it's afraid to like that it might come to a point where no one would take us serious or care, you know. So we're constantly fighting our own battles every day, but as long as we keep our truth and we stay together as a people, like, that's what really matters.
That's right. Now,
yeah.
I do want to share that. I do want to share that Royo Stevens, I did speak to him privately about this after a little talk he gave. And he does acknowledge that. Now, he wrote this in the late 80s. I got to meet him in 2005, I believe. So he did admit that, wow, you know, that there's a lot of unity among the peoples in the Caribbean on Taino identity. And then he did do a, what do you call it? He did a reprint of that first book, you know. I love the book personally. You know, you guys know me. I teach on it. And he did acknowledge this whole presence. A lot of people call it the Neo-Taino movement or Taino resurgence or whatever. You know, there's a lot of terms for it. But I do want to say there is good news. after these original publications and articles in the 90s, and after that historical meeting in 1998 in Museo Hilario, actually, it was a publication in 98 that many of the scholars started saying that there are descendants that identify as Taino. You know, they started writing in the articles, you know. And then in the 2000s, there's good news. You know, there were many men and women, children. There were many Taino groups that were forming, tribes and so on in the islands. You know, the Jibaro culture, people that stayed hidden, started coming to the light, especially in Cuba with Panchito. You know, and there was a lot. It was a huge movement in the 90s, early 2000s, you know, in which people was like, you know what? We're still here, man. You know, so it was like a renaissance, right? That resurgence. People were unifying. And people were fighting as well. That's the human experience, right?
Wow.
And it's still going on now, but guess what? It was active. And scholars took it seriously. So part two of this show, I'm going to do a part two because guess what? We need to highlight those scholars that put their reputations on the line and says, yo, there's descendants of the Taino people, you know? National Geographic said, yo, we found Taino DNA. Dr. Cruzado, who started that in Puerto Rico, there's Taino DNA still in the modern people, you know. They did it in DR, Dominican Republic. We got a visible tribe in Cuba, Panchito and his people. So there are scholars. So we have to highlight them in the second part of this show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That there were scholars out there that, you know, Peter Ferber, Ling Yatar. You know, one thing I love about Peter Ferber, when he did an article, he's from the Vanderbilt University. He went to Dominican Republic with the same mindset like Arroyo Stevens, the Tainos don't exist, you know. And he went to the remote areas to study, trying to find some artifacts and stuff. And one thing that he wrote in his article was, yo, Tainos were surrounding me. And they was like, what do you mean they were surrounding you? The Dominican people. I can see it in their eyes. I can see it in their face. I can see it in their traditions. When he went down the river, the canoe that he used was a traditional made Taino canoe. So he wrote that in his article. He says, I try to replicate a canoe from what De La Casa wrote or Columbus wrote. That was his idea, right? But when he went to the country, people had the same canoes. The fisher people had the canoes.
Mm.
You know? He had the mindset, right? That colonizing mindset, well, I'm going to recreate it. I want to make it, you know. And when he showed up, they already had it. That's just one example. I don't want to give it all away. And then Lynn Guitar kind of started interviewing a lot of Dominican people. And she was from, I believe, the University of Michigan. And she got a lot of great interviews in the 90s, you know, and how she tried to highlight Taino culture was alive and well. I'm going to try to get them on the show. How about that? Can we get them on the show?
Yeah. That would be really awesome.
Yeah, man, definitely. And, you know, not to be the bad guy, but I think a lot of scholars, you know. The police are here. Taino police, hey, what's up?
Those are the scholars.
The scholars are after me. Wait a minute. So, they used to studying artifacts. They used to say, we don't have traditional caciques anymore. We don't have traditional yucayeques anymore. We don't even play the ball game as we should. So, you know, it's easy for them to say the Taino culture doesn't exist. But there's one thing, and I have to give praise to all those men and women, those abuelos, abuelas, who did their best to keep us hidden, to keep the identity hidden. If not, they would have been killed. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They did their best to hide. We needed to. They would be killed. You know, Columbus, whenever he catch the rebel warriors, It would tie them up to trees, Lens. And the war dogs will bite their calves, you know, filled with honey. You know, these are kind of punishments. And you try to say you're Taino, right? To see what's going to happen to you, right? So here's the thing. We gotta give them thanks to all those people. But now, guess what? It's our time now. 2000 what?
23? Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we need to continue to rebuild, educate, and so on. Listen, we got a live caller here. I don't know if they want a 347 number, if they want to speak. But I always like to do this, right? Put them on the spot, right? Hey, I put you guys on the spot. I got to put the callers on the spot.
Right.
Let me see. So, caller, your first numbers are 322. Let's see. If you want to be on it, I'll give you 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay, they're still on. They didn't hang up. Okay. Caller, what's your name?
Oh, it's me, Mejike. It's me, Jamyang. Hey, Kiraha. What's up, everybody?
Hey, who let you in the door? Wait a minute. Hey, what's the security?
Listening to the show tonight, and I'm like, damn, this is fire. Definitely.
Wait a second.
Wait
a minute. I got to get some security in here. I got to get some security in Tiny Radio.
The police already were called, you know?
So let me ask you a quick question. We're going on overtime. Quick question. What were you thinking? What were you feeling as we're talking about a lot of these scholars back in the 90s talking about this stuff?
You know, they are so arrogant to just act like they know and then to come out be like, oh, Tainos are dead. I'm just so over it. Look, we're here. We're alive. I feel like we still need to tell people that. It's kind of crazy, but
keep on
living. People know we're here.
That's true. And it's catching momentum a lot on TikTok or on YouTube and stuff. And of course, Taino Radio, right?
Definitely.
So real quickly, I'll go alphabetical order. Anani, Bana, and then Jamyang. What's your Taino name?
Ekeraha. Call me only my Taino name, please.
Because I don't remember. What is it? Inaru?
Inaru Ekeraha.
And what does that mean?
The one who keeps her vow.
There you go, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So Anani, can you conclude by this last question? What does the future have for our Taino culture? What does the future hold for our Taino culture?
More love, less hate. That's all I got to say.
Wow, I like that. More love. It's all about love. How about you, Mana?
I would say more compassion.
Oh, there you go. Compassion. Okay, that's true. That's right. And Inaru?
I feel that it's the time for our excellence, and everybody else is just going to be scared, and we're literally repopulating the Americas. So
wow.
Watch out, because we're coming back.
I like that. Repopulation. Right. So we got love, compassion, repopulation. Oh, man.
Right.
You know, wow, that's amazing. So I think the future for us is that we have to combine our efforts more than ever, right? So
yep.
People know that we're still here, but hey, we're not going to charge. It's free. It's free at the. It's free to come in, but pay at the door. How about that one?
I like that.
Yeah.
That's an old Shaolin. That's an old Shaolin saying. For all you Buddhists out there. Buddhist Taino, right? That's cool. So guys, we ran out of time. We're way over time. And thank you all you listeners out there who are listening in, all you future listeners in Taino Radio who are downloading the show. There's a lot of people throughout the world that's been watching us, or I should say listening to us. Hold on a second. Let me get a quick shout out to them. These are different countries. How about that? Hold on a second. We got the United States. We got Canada, Puerto Rico, Borinquen, Dominican Republic, Cuba, South Korea, Australia, Japan. We got Russia. Please stop the war. We got Germany. We got France. We got United Kingdom. Brazil. Colombia. Man, what can I say? And, of course, the Caribbean is represented in all the islands. We got Cuba, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, and Borinquen. Guys, it was a pleasure. Thank you for taking your time off and calling in and sharing your thoughts, your feelings. The next show, we're gonna speak to some people, hopefully. I'm going to work on it. We've been telling the world that we exist, all right? God bless you all. God bless wherever you country you're in, right? God bless America. How about that one? All right, man. Peace, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Bye.
Good night. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.